those are good as well. So
mm-hmm. yeah. we have some that are a little bit light and some that are a lot more informative.
But right. Heavier, more serious.
We typically have a guest on the Center Solutions mm-hmm. podcast. Then we have Almost Therapy, which is, like I said before, it's just a little more casual, where Christy just kind of talks freely about the issue at hand. And sometimes we have gathered those issues from comments or concerns that were emailed to us. So mm-hmm. we encourage you to email us at centersolutions@gmail.com, or you can hear Melanie's personal email at the end of this episode in her phone number. I'll give you her personal phone number. You can text her at like 3 a.m. with an issue if you'd like for us
but
to.
But don't expect any Almost Therapy of any kind, because you'll have to text Christy for that.
Yeah. Not at 3 a.m. Thank you, Christy.
So make sure to subscribe to us on all podcast platforms like iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter so that you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, because whenever you hit that subscribe button, you will get alerts whenever there's a new episode. So thanks for joining us and hearing about RLWT today. I'm glad to have been able to talk about
Bailey.
It.
Yeah,
thank you, Bailey.
Center Solutions is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. Post-production work is done by Bailey Hennis. Content is provided by Melanie Size and Christy Edwards. Contact Centers for Children and Families at 432-570-1084 or the Recording Library, 432-682-2731. Email Melanie with questions you want answered on the show at msize@centerstexas.org. That's msize@centerstx.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 86 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then, tomorrow, sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, July 5th. Organizers continue with plans for Permian Basin International Oil Show. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Organizers of the Permian Basin International Oil Show, set for Odessa's Ector County Coliseum Complex, October 20th through 22nd, are keeping a close eye on what's happening with the COVID-19 pandemic. Tony Fry, the exhibition's executive director, told the Reporter Telegram organizers are still, quote, proceeding onward with the show. Our concern, obviously, is if the number of COVID-19 cases continues to spike, especially as we go into starting up school, we will figure out what we need to do to keep everyone safe. That's our number one priority, end quote. Fry said the executive committee will meet in August, quote, and at that point, we'll decide if it's definitely a go. It depends on what COVID-19 is doing, end quote. Organizers will follow state and county orders regarding public gatherings that are in place come in August, he said. Quote, so much of this can't wait until the last minute, Fry said. We have to plan as though the show is going to proceed, end quote. The pandemic is not the only challenge, as the oil and gas industry has been hard hit not only by the global economic shutdown and a resulting plunge in oil demand, but an economic slowdown caused by low crude and natural gas prices. Fry said 70 exhibit spaces are available, even though the spaces typically are sold out at this point in the year. Quote, "We've lost some exhibitors, but we've gained a bunch," he said. "I'm happy with the way exhibit space sales are going, given the economic climate," end quote. All the outdoor spaces are already spoken for, Fry said, but officials have cut back on what he called the overflow spaces at the back of the complex that had been used since 2016. "That's the elimination of about 30 spaces," he said. Fry expressed confidence exhibition space will be sold out by the time the show opens in October. Railroad Commission releases monitoring enforcement plan. The story was written by Mella McEwen. For more than a century, the Railroad Commission has been tasked with overseeing the state's oil and gas industry. As part of that oversight, the agency annually releases its oil and gas monitoring and enforcement planning document. The commission has just released its document for fiscal year 2021. Quote, "The plan is one of a variety of avenues the Railroad Commission uses to provide transparency about the agency's work," commission spokesman Andrew Keyes told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "Also, as part of the process of developing the annual plan, a draft is opened up for public feedback, which is used as part of developing the final document," end quote. This year, commission officials decided to highlight their education efforts in the planning document. Quote, "While the Railroad Commission has long had a robust education program for oil and gas operators, a section about our program was added to this edition of the annual planning document in response to the public comment," Keith said. "It recognizes the importance that education plays in ensuring compliance with Railroad Commission regulations and how it plays a role in helping to protect public health and the environment by preventing potential issues," end quote. "That educational outreach is designed to help operators better understand commission rules. Efforts include an annual regulatory conference, regulatory forums at sites near large concentrations of oil and gas workers, presentations at industry events, including conferences, seminars, and workshops, and production of online user guides and instructional videos. In April, the Commission exceeded its fiscal year 2020 performance target 4 months ahead of schedule for the number of oil and gas well and facility inspections. Quote, "The Railroad Commission, like everyone else, was thrust into a unique situation when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. But our inspectors were able to adjust and continue their operations," Keyes said. Just one example of that work is how we exceeded this year's target for the number of oil and gas well and facility inspections 4 months before the end of the fiscal year, end quote. In a statement announcing the monitoring plan, Railroad Commission Executive Director Wei Wang said, quote, "Just in the past several months, we have utilized technological advances to streamline operations and improve our agency's efficiency. We launched a drone program that will help inspectors quickly respond to emergencies, which is critical in incidents when time is of the essence. The drones also provide aerial views of incidents which were not available to inspectors in the past. We also added another layer to our transparency initiative with an online portal for our hearings cases. Not only does this portal give the public unprecedented access to view documents and reports used in the hearings, but it also allows parties involved in hearings to easily save time by filing documents online while also streamlining our staff resources," end quote. The use of drones is one of the action items in the Commission's goal of using its resources to ensure public safety and environmental protection. Another is to expand its boots-on-the-ground training program by including managerial and technical staff from the district offices. This will ensure the Commission's inspectors, managers, and technical staff have a clear understanding of the inspection process, oil and gas rules, and technical knowledge to consistently apply those rules across Texas. Any changes to next year's plan will depend on any bills related to Commission activities the Texas legislature may pass in its session next year, as well as any performance measure goals legislators approve in the budgeting process, says Keyes. Oil field service job losses near 90,000, data shows. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Research by the Petroleum Equipment and Services Association, drawing from Bureau of Labor Statistics data, paints a stark picture of the job loss in the oil field services sector. PESA, which conducted the research in consultation with researchers at the Hobby School of Public Affairs at the University of Houston, estimates May job losses were nearly 15,000, bringing the total due to pandemic-related demand destruction to more than 84,000. Kevin Broom, communications director at PESA, told the Reporter Telegram in a phone interview that preliminary June figures indicate further job losses. Quote, "It looks like the job loss is continuing at a slower pace, though jobs are still being lost," he said. Of those lost jobs, he said 57,000 were in Texas. Quote, "It's good that the pace is slowing, but in looking at the situation with the COVID-19 pandemic, the future is considered uncertain," Broom said. With the virus spiking in the nation's most populous states, it's possible that quarantines or shelter-in-place orders could be renewed, bringing a halt to travel, reducing economic activity, and lowering the demand for oil again, he said. Unable to take a deep dive into the data, Broom said it appears the steepest job losses are in the field of oil and gas extraction and support activities. According to the association's research, oil field service employment is down 105,000 jobs from May of 2019 and is at its lowest point since 2017. Nationwide, the association's report said employment fell from 764,000 in February to 679,000 in May, a drop of 11%. In April, when crude prices briefly fell into negative territory, there was the heaviest loss in oil field service jobs when 59,000 jobs were lost. From May 2019 to May 2020, employment plunged 13% from 785,000 to 679,000 jobs. The jobs lost represent estimated annual wages of approximately $11.4 billion, he said. Leslie Beyer, president of the Petroleum Equipment and Services Association, told the Reporter Telegram earlier this year that her organization is already starting to see some market positivity around reduced supply thanks to the speed of shut-in activity and voluntary proration. There are reports that hydraulic fracturing crews are returning to work. Industry consultant Primary Vision reported that the number of active crews nationwide had risen to 78 in mid-June from 45 in May. Quote, "Demand will rise once our communities begin to emerge from quarantine environments," Meyer said. Continuing the quote, "When these factors begin to take hold, the world will need energy, and oil and natural gas will be a strong part of the energy mix for decades to come. Times are difficult now, and we're going to see permanent changes to the way society operates, but we'll also need the innovative solutions that can only be provided by men and women of the OFS sector who are at the heart of the energy industry's technology engine, she said. James Wickland, managing director of Stevens Incorporated, said during a recent webinar that he doesn't expect a rise in oil field activity. Wickland said he doesn't expect to see activity levels again approaching the same levels as 18 months ago when the rig count was more than 1,000. He said the sector will see consolidation in the near future, in part because of bankruptcies.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 5th, 2020. Significant Tax Savings with a Homestead Exemption by Anita Campbell, Chief Appraiser for the Ector County Appraisal District. Every year, thousands of homeowners miss out on tax savings because they have not signed up to receive the Residential Homestead Exemption. This tax savings is even more important with the current economic situation in Ector County. The exemption reduces the tax liability by excluding a portion of the property value from taxation. The process to receive the benefit is simple. Complete an application with the Ector County Appraisal District, designating the property on the application as your principal residence. State law requires that each owner's name and their ownership interest in the property be listed on the application. The address listed on the driver's license must match the property address on the application, and the ID must be issued in the year of the application. This address requirement may be waived for circumstances involving military personnel and individuals in healthcare facilities. Situations of temporary renewal extensions due to DPS closures will be handled on an individual basis. To ensure the accuracy of our records, we will need a copy of the Texas-issued driver's license or ID card for both individuals if the exemption is for a married couple. You can contact our office for more information. In Ector County, all local taxing entities offer some exemption amount or percentage for the residential homestead exemption. This exemption can help reduce your tax amount in three ways. First, the appraised value of your homestead property is limited to a 10% increase each year. This is a substantial savings when sales prices and market values are increasing by more than 10%. Second, after the appraised value is capped at the 10% increase, the taxable value is further reduced by the amount of each local taxing entity's optional homestead exemption. The local exemption amounts range from 10 to 20%. And third, homeowners receive a mandatory $15,000 additional reduction of their ISD taxable value. For a home valued at $100,000 in the Odessa city limits, the homestead exemption amounts to an annual tax savings of approximately $750. Since the reason for filing an exemption is to lower the tax amount, applications should be filed by July 15th to avoid delays in granting the exemption. For properties with timely filed applications, the tax statement mailed in October will correctly state the exemption status and the reduced tax amounts. Applications filed after July 15th will require corrections to the certified appraisal roll and could delay receipt of a corrected tax statement for up to 8 weeks. Homeowners who purchased a home in 2018 or 2019 and have not yet filed for the exemption may still file and receive the tax savings. Contact us for an application and return the completed application to our office along with copies of the owner's driver's licenses, or you may bring in the completed application and we will be happy to make copies for you. Filing the application for the residential homestead exemption, the disabled person exemption, or the over 65 exemption is free. If you receive a letter from a company offering to file your exemption for you for a fee, please do not complete the application or pay the fee. What these companies do is not illegal, but there is no reason to pay a fee for a free service. If you want to check the status of your exemptions, check your recent notice of appraised value. You can also visit our website at www.ectorcad.org. You can search for your property by name, address, or account number. The exemption status is located in the deed and exemption information section of the View Details page. For any questions you have regarding exemptions and qualifications, please call us at 432-332-6834. Economy is on the Mend by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. His blog is at www.themarketperspective.com. 5 million new jobs were created in May, record numbers. This is from the Department of Labor, Friday. Despite the increase in virus cases and civil unrest, the DJIA advanced some 400 points on the jobs data. The improvement was across the board, with some 80% of small business now open again. Jobs for women and ethnic minorities expanded at a record clip. Evidence mounts that the stock market will rally into September and then into spring 2021. Let's see how the market acts next week on the return from the July 4th holiday. This outlook is confirmed by the action of the Transports and Small Cap 600 this morning. Transports are up 1.7%, while small caps advance 2%. Both are above their 200 bar moving averages on the 120-minute chart. Admittedly, there are some less than encouraging indicators. Not surprisingly, car sales are down 33% to 50% versus same quarter last year among various manufacturers. And supply is down with factories closed. United Air is flying 40% of the routes it flew a year ago. And bankruptcies continue, with the largest Pizza Hut franchisee being the latest. Oil prices have been knocking on the $40 threshold, but the Saudis are threatening the rest of OPEC with another price war. The last one in March took prices into negative territory. While Russia and the Saudis agreed to a 10% production decrease, other OPEC members have not followed. Gee, imagine that. Of the 8 ETFs representing different sectors of the economy, energy remains the weakest. The XLE Energy ETF at $37.36 is still $10 below its 200-day moving average. It sports 11.5% yield, thanks to the determination of firms like Exxon not to cut the dividend. Note that Royal Dutch Shell already has cut. Meanwhile, social mood trends negative in many cases and areas. The CHOP separatist move in Seattle is being dismantled. Statues and monuments are lowered by protesters, many of whom I doubt have any idea as to their historic significance. An advertiser boycott has begun against Facebook. Negative mood finds solace in horror movies. So The Wretched, about a teen and an evil witch, is doing well at the 300-plus drive-in movie theaters still open. But our prize for social mood moment of the month goes to Netflix for its new series, Warrior Nun. A 19-year-old woman discovers she is part of an ancient order tasked with fighting demons on earth. Forces in heaven and hell want to control her. And trust me, the Pope will not approve of these nun habits. I can't make this stuff up. Happy 4th of July. The Economist. Tourism in Turmoil by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Texas is struggling to strike the appropriate balance in the tragic choice between effective public health measures and restoring vitality to the economy. Moving ahead with reopening before recommended safety milestones were met has led to reversals and setbacks on the path to progress. Physical health and economic health are both essential. Nowhere is this tension more intensely evident than in the tourism industry. People traveling to new areas inherently involves enormous public health implications as cases of COVID-19 escalate. On the other hand, tourism is a major driver of the economy in urban and rural areas alike. Estimates by my firm indicate that travel spending added $155.3 billion in total gross product to Texas in 2019 and supported over 1.5 million jobs. To put it mildly, tourism and related services have experienced a turbulent few months in what is usually a bustling season. In April, the first full month of shutdowns, 518,000 jobs were lost in the Texas leisure and hospitality industry, a decrease of 38.1%. In May, the economy started to rebound, and the leisure and hospitality industry gained back 193,400 jobs, but is still down 24.5% from January. Performance in the hotel industry has followed a similar pattern. In April, hotel gross operating profits fell by 116.9% and into negative across the U.S., led by Houston, which reported a decline of 135.3%, according to data produced by STR. Hotel occupancy hit a low of 22.0%, and individual cities recorded even lower rates, such as Austin, with 3.4% occupancy the first week of April. Airline performance followed a similar pattern. Once restrictions began to ease in early May, many Texas cities saw the beginnings of a rebound in hotel occupancy. The first weekend of May saw increases of 31 and 24 percentage points in the beach communities of Galveston and Corpus Christi, respectively. As of the week ending June 20th, hotel occupancy across the U.S. was 43.9%, up from historic lows in April, but still down 41.8% from the previous year. With an uptick in COVID-19 cases and renewed restrictions, tourism-related businesses may be further impacted, though some activity will continue. Moving forward, the near-term solutions likely will require distancing, facial coverings, increased sanitation procedures, and other measures to help people feel and be secure for traveling. Over a longer horizon, vaccines, treatments, tracing, and innovations will allow us to move forward. As I have often noted, this is an economic crisis that was spawned by a health crisis. You can only fully overcome the former by dealing with the latter. People love to travel, and Texas is an iconic destination. Tourism will resume and prosper, though it may look a bit different. Be safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 86 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then, tomorrow, sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Midland-Odessa.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle.